Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Seth Kirshner, a security engineer and assistant VP at MUFG. Good afternoon. It's probably afternoon where you are, right, Seth?
Yeah, we're doing good. It is the afternoon, so we're okay.
Yeah. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Awesome. Yes. So my name is Seth Kirshner. I'm currently a application and data security engineer for MUFG Securities. It's a subsidiary of the bank. Our business does loan, mortgage back, and traders as well in that area. And so I've been with the firm for about 6 months now. Previously, I was with Deloitte, where I spent 2 years as an infrastructure security consultant, focused a lot on threat and vulnerability management, application security, and did a bunch of assessments for them. Worked in about 6 different industries with 11 different clients.
Oh, very interesting. And what university did you go to?
I graduated from Stevens Institute of Technology. It's a small tech school based in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, very nice. So MUFG is an acronym, obviously. Can you tell us what MUFG is and who your typical customer is?
Sure. So MUFG stands for Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group. They're a global bank. They're relatively popular on the West Coast, more formally known as Union Bank. So that's when people think of Union Bank, that's MUFG. MUFG is probably most notably known, I would say, for saving some of Morgan Stanley during the financial crisis and coming in. So they're based in Japan, at least our parent company. And in many cases, we operate globally as well as in EMEA too. So for my securities division, we're actually headquartered in EMEA. And then we have locations in the US as well as in the Asia Pacific region.
Very interesting. And being on the West Coast myself, I am familiar with Union Bank. So now that makes it much easier than MUFG. So you're a security engineer. And about a year ago, everybody went remote. So I have to believe that had a big impact on what you do. And you started 6 months ago. So you came right in the middle of it, right?
Yeah. It's been very interesting so far. I think the industry has had a difficult time adopting initially. One of the biggest struggles that many large Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 organizations face is that they didn't have enough bandwidth with their VPNs to handle all the remote users. And that created a lot of hiccups for some larger organizations.
Yeah, and your company's international, so you had to deal with a whole bunch of different issues, I would assume, on those lines. Because, you know, in the United States, you know, generally good internet, good bandwidth and VPN, but other countries, I gotta believe, aren't so good, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, having a distributed workforce has been a change for the industry across many layers. And the good part is that over the past, I would say 2 to 3 years, there's been security measures that organizations have begun to adopt, such as micro-segmentation and other areas to help end-user computing be advanced and to ensure that your infrastructure is also secure. And so with those two advancements making significant progress in the last about 48 months, give or take, we've been able to, I would say most organizations struggled initially, but once they got after the little hurdle, they realized they're smooth sailing.
And interesting. So if you started 6 months ago, I'm assuming, well, I'll just call it Union Bank, has a major office in New York where you're from. Have you been into the office or have you not been into the office yet?
No office for me, but I'm pretty much used to that from my previous consulting days. We never really had an office either. So we traveled a lot to our client sites and that was it. So me personally, yeah, I haven't really been to an office in a handful of years. And I think me just being sort of a Gen Z millennial, we anticipate the future going the same way. I'm one of those people I always get in small arguments, let's call it, with people because I don't ever want to go into an office. I don't really see the need for it, you know, other than to meet my coworkers in person and potentially go to happy hour or whatnot. You know, is there truly a need?
I am with you on that, even though we're at opposite ends of the career spectrum. I haven't been to an office in about 10 years, I think it's got to be now. And I love it. I do live in the San Francisco Bay Area, which makes it easier. And You recently have relocated, correct? Taking advantage of this remote work.
Yep. So I'm definitely working remote, sort of the remote work from anywhere type mentality. So every about 2 to 3 weeks, I travel to a new destination and I'm trying to mitigate my exposure as much as possible. So obviously, you know, you take your own risk. ability to do it, why not?
Yeah. Can you, any idea where you're going to go to next?
I'm thinking about New Orleans, so we'll see how that goes.
Interesting. That's one of the few cities in the U.S. I haven't been to. Maybe I'll meet you in New Orleans. That would be fun. So you obviously are bought into remote work. I'm bought into it. But do you think, you know, overall as a, you know, just, we'll just say the United States, do you think it's the future or do you think it's going to be something else once things settle down here?
I think it's going to be hybrid, but it's really going to be dependent on the industry that the company's into. So for example, a lot of like blockchain related companies have moved to like a fully remote workforce. They don't really have any for an office. I know that smaller offices that were part of larger companies have just shut down their office for that particular location, especially if it's just tech talent. So I think there are areas that really do benefit from being in an office. There could be technology constraints. So for example, a trader that's using a Bloomberg terminal, it might be difficult to pick up and transfer a Bloomberg terminal to an individual's house. And in that case, it's also like a shared resource with the company. So if you have a physical device that's a shared resource, being able to need access to that is like kind of in the old days, right? You had to go to the mainframe to actually use it. I think that there's still technology like that exists today. And people are going to have to do that. And then I think that there's companies that are going to adopt a hybrid model. They're going to be forced to because mm-hmm. that's the only way that the employees are going to stay with the company. So I anticipate that, you know, for many large banks, for example, you know, it's like 100 plus years of going into the office. A lot of people aren't used to it. And from a managerial point of view, they haven't been able to transition their mindset yet in order to, you know, help. But now they're like micromanaging, right? A lot, because they don't know, like they're not able to stop by a person's desk and ask them a question. So I think for individuals that are used to going into an office all the time, it's been a significant difficulty for them to manage their staff. That being said, ideally, I think companies are going to go hybrid. And they're going to look at, you know, what staff is critical to be in an office and what staff's not. I think, for example, legal teams still are going to want to go into offices just because a lot of the information that they're sharing is extremely confidential. A lot of the times they don't want it to be written down. So those are some use cases where, you know, I do see a need for it. And I do see, you know, opportunity to, I guess, still keep some of your office space. But there's no reason why companies shouldn't be downsizing, in my opinion.
No, I would agree. And you brought up the Bloomberg terminal, which was kind of interesting. Don't you think that eventually there will be less need for the actual terminal and that will be more of just a standard option on a laptop?
Yeah, so much like companies started to do like cloud computing, right? And they went to like microservices and they also went like thin client. So for example, I don't know if you were in an organization where they started to replace big giant clunky desktops with these little micro computers essentially that, you know, work on the cloud. I do think that there's going to be like distributed technology that's going to be advanced. But at the end of the day, like the vendors are going to have to think of, you know, what's more lucrative, right? Mm-hmm. They're always going to go from a profit first mentality. And if they need to build and deploy, you know, 5 million thin Bloomberg clients, like who knows what the level of effort is. Maybe they're already doing it, right? Maybe it's already in the back of their heads and we don't necessarily know. But I do think that, you know, remote work is going to significantly change. I think people are going to leave big cities. It'd be awesome places to have like a house or, you know, a home base, so to speak. But more and more people are just going on that, you know, work from anywhere mentality. And I know significant amount of people now that don't even have a permanent address, which is an interesting concept. Because for tax reasons, you know, what do, right? If you don't own a home. and that's like the modern millennial travel experience right there. And I know a lot of people, they just hopped in, you know, an RV and off they go and, you know, they can work from anywhere. So there's no constraints.
Yeah, no, actually my son is actually taking advantage of that right now. He's in Colorado and doing some side work on a project, but he's also a computer engineer. So it is happening. I know it personally. Well, Seth, it's been great talking to you. Interesting. It's good to talk to someone in the banking industry. Go back to my early days when I was your age. I worked at a couple banks. So it's always good to know that it's still going forward. I worked in punch cards. You work in a whole different world, right?
Yeah, a lot has changed, that's for sure. And at least in the cybersecurity industry too, it's really unique how the industry has had to adapt to the ever-changing, you know, norm. I think in terms of keeping your company safe, your people safe, you know, the people becoming even more prone to phishing because now they're getting more emails and more content, more mediums of communication, more websites to access, more modes of productivity and workforce enhancement. You have like Teams and Slack and Dropbox and Box and Google Drive and all this stuff now. And I think organizations need to be able to pick their battles wisely. And I think it potentially is going to open up a whole nother, you know, field where compliance and legal is going to have to start getting involved in these conversations down the line. And it's no longer just going to be, hey, this is a cyber concern, but they're going to say, hey, like what other additional operational or risks are being imposed to our organization if we start allowing for people to work from anywhere, to have access to all these productivity tools? What additional third party and fourth party breaches does that bring into consideration? And I know as companies mature in size, they're going to have to start bringing cybersecurity in, or at least operational risk, in much earlier than they anticipated. So now companies that are raising seed and series rounds, especially at the startup stage, you know, once they start hitting that 20, 30 employee, they gotta begin to think a little bit more about the people and the risks that they're taking on. And that was never really a challenge. You know, they used to put it on the back burner until they really, really, really had to do something. But now I think that it's becoming such a prevalent issue, especially from, you know, an exposure point of view, that companies are looking to bring in cyber and other risk professionals earlier in the process.
No, I agree. And I mean, I've talked to a number of CEOs, and they have part-time what are called CISOs, Chief Information Security Officers. It's a booming business right now. Anybody that gets into it, there's no shortage of work, right?
That is for sure. We definitely stay busy as cyber professionals.
Yes, you do. Well, Seth, I want to thank you again, and have a great week.
Yeah, thank you so much.